Hello, world. Welcome to today's installment of the Fishing Report podcast presented by Max Gibbard of Team Logic IT. That's me. The Fishing Report is about technology and safely using those technology tools in today's world. But more than that, we focus on the business impact resulting from cybersecurity breaches. So whether you're in small business or big business, working for a government agency or a nonprofit organization, protecting yourself from online harm and protecting your identity from theft is pretty important. Every year, more and more attacks affect businesses of all sizes. Businesses regularly face cybersecurity threats in the form of phishing and spyware and ransomware, just to name a few. Companies of every size need to be prepared to deal with these impacts to business, and it's a significant big deal. So I'm honored to have a good friend of mine. His name is Joe Connolly. Joe Connolly is from Optimized Marketing and a talented musician. He's got lots of things in his background that I'm sure he'll share with us. But he's representing an organization called Optimized Marketing that handles search engine optimization and digital marketing, consulting with clients on how to increase their footprint online. And he's got some insights and experiences to share with us today. Give him a chance to introduce himself in just a few minutes, but let's share what's on tap for today's session. So typically, we divide these up into three basic sections. I want to share some information about a huge cyber attack that just happened last week in the city of Baltimore, in case you haven't heard about that. In many ways, this is old news. It's very similar to things that have gone on before, about a year ago to the day. It happened in Atlanta and took them down for a similar period of time. But we want to talk about that story and just remind you of some of the threats that are out there. Second stage of the session, we're going to talk about and interview Joe Connolly and give him a chance to share his subject matter expertise, especially as it relates to social media threats and issues and ways that maybe people can get information that you don't want them to have. And then we'll talk about a few things that you can do to educate yourself and keep yourself protected from internet harm. So if you have questions along the way, join our Twitter community. We're a post at at Fishing Report. That's P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G. And you can join our community at thefishingreport.net as well. So before we go any further, I want to learn a little bit more about you, Joe, and would like to know about your experience with cybersecurity and maybe just a little general background about you. And obviously, we want to know about what marketing services you offer at Optimized Marketing and things you get to do. So take it away.
Yeah. Like Max said, I'm Joe Connolly. I'm one of the co-founders at Optimized Marketing. We really focus on assisting local businesses with making sure their online brand and all their information stays correct and up to date. And we'll touch on the security aspects of that. And as Max brought up, I'm also a drummer in a band from Grand Rapids called Gunner and the Grizzly Boys. So I get to travel a lot with that and a lot of social media experiences with that as well. So thank you so much for having me. This is pretty fun.
Yeah, I think so too. And I'm glad to have you here. So thank you for that. First up, I wanted to go over briefly some things that are happening in the cyber world. It seems like every day we hear about somebody who's been hacked, somebody who's been breached. It's happening here locally. It's happening all over the world and around the country. The most recent big one that happened was in the city of Baltimore. Did you hear about that, Joe?
I haven't yet. I wait for your expertise on these stories.
So Baltimore has a budget office, and they estimate that a ransomware attack that happened last week is going to cost them around $18.2 million, mostly because of lost revenue and direct costs to restore their systems. So in the city council budget hearing last week, shortly after the attack happened, they indicated that about $10 million of the estimated cost have to do with the direct costs that go along with these kinds of things. And the rest of it is downtime and getting things back up and running, transferring operations to different systems, and making sure that they have backup systems in place. So $8.2 million of lost revenue and delays as a result of all of that. In some cases, that means that they won't collect property taxes or real estate fees because they don't have a way to do that. So
it's the bad thing, right?
Yeah,
it's
right. So okay. People find a way to avoid having to pay those kinds of things. The hackers did ask for a ransomware. They asked for $76,000. And the mayor basically said that didn't seem like too high of a ransom, but they just felt like they didn't want to take the chance of not getting their data back. And it could become a long-term kind of an issue. The mayor said, we're not going to pay criminals for bad deeds. If they were to pay the ransom, there's no guarantee that if you pay, they will reset your system. And that's very, very true. Since the attack, government's been without access to BaltimoreCity.gov emails. And so imagine a city employee who's using their Gmail account to communicate with customers. Do you have any good Gmail accounts that you've run across?
Oh, my gosh. You know, BaltimoreTaxCollection@gmail.com.
Yeah, right. I had a client once that was looking for a job, and I was helping her as a career management consultant at the time. And we were talking about how it's important that you have a serious-minded email when you're sending information out to apply for a job. And I asked everybody what their email addresses were, and we got around to her, and hers was MBA Princess 2013.
There you go. Yep.
So she was in 2015, just graduated from college in 2013, thought she was a princess, and she had an MBA she was pretty proud of. That didn't get a lot of a serious attention, I don't think. But anyway, so they're putting some systems in place. They're in the process of piloting a new email system that includes encryption. They're doing some work to restore those accounts, starting with police and fire departments. And now they're trying to put additional safeguards in place. I heard on the news about the costs of this. You know, there's no government that allocates $10 million in case you get attacked, right?
Right.
The cost of preparing for that is expensive as well. So they're kind of in a bad spot, but hopefully they'll work their way out of it. So, Joe, I shared that story because I expect that you hear some of these kinds of issues that are happening out in the world, and maybe you've interacted with some folks that have experienced some problems. So what kinds of concerns do you hear about related to cybersecurity when you're interacting with your clients and helping them with their services?
Absolutely, and a lot of our experience isn't always an attack with intent. Right. You have to think about the search engines want to know everything about your business. They want to know when you're open, what payment types you offer or accept, and what services and products you offer. And if the business owners aren't giving them this information, they're going to go and try to find it. They're going to scan the internet for it, or they're going to ask your customers. So there's a big part of our service is really managing publishers' suggestions. Now, what that looks like, I have an Android phone, so I'm connected to Google. So when I got to the studio today, it asked me. It says, WKTV. It says, when is this place open? Help improve navigation for others. Did you get here properly? Were there any turns? So you can imagine why this is important to manage and understand, because I could go in here and say, no, they're closed. Actually, they're located across the street. For a TV studio, it might not be as big of a deal because you're not getting as much foot traffic as, say, a restaurant or, bars and grills, chiropractors, or even in, you know, we're doing a lot of work in Chicago now, and there's a lot of businesses in a small space. So you want to make sure that information stays consistent for two reasons. You want to make sure that if you offer, you know, IT services in Grand Rapids and someone says, oh, no, they're a security company, they want to make sure that you show up in those searches when people are looking for IT support, and you're not telling the internet that, no, we're just security, because it's going to cost you business. We all know we search for things. So we run into a lot of businesses that their hours are wrong or their phone number is wrong. We had a church that kept getting orders from the Mexican restaurant across the street. So you can imagine that managing your online brand. And these aren't things that people are necessarily going out and actively changing and trying to mess with businesses. It's people that, I mean, it's a push notification on my phone. It looks just like a text message. So
what's the effect of if you have five different websites and they have five different hour sets or five different descriptions or five different maybe even names of the business, yep. What's the effect of that on in terms of online presence?
It's real bad. It's so the you got to remember in that what's the running joke? You don't know the answer to something, you should
Google it.
Right. And think about how powerful that statement is for Google. Like, what? How hard are they working to find out information about your business? I mean, that's incredible. And so the first thing Google's looking for is how much information is about you on the internet. There, you know, you have a website, social media sites, you know, Yelp pages. It's looking to see how much of the internet you can fill up. The second part is they want to know if you're consistent. If one place says you're open at 5 and the other place says you're open at 6, and one place says you're an IT company, one place says you're a security company, it's going to punish you because Google wants to remain, and all the search engines want to remain relevant. They want to make sure they're giving you, the customer, what you're looking for. So if they're not sure what you are, they're not going to put you in a search because they don't want to send somebody to you to say, "Hi, Max at TeamLogic. I'm looking for a home security system." Not only is it wasting your time, it's wasting that person's time. Or somebody GPSing to you and ends up, at a team building site because it's TeamLogic or whatever. People will want to continue to use Google. Google wants people to continue to use them. So if your information is wrong, it's like asking 10 of your friends about the best steakhouse and 5 of them say, "Nope, don't go there. My steak was undercooked. They can't get it right." So that's basically why your information needs to be the same across all of them. Usually if that happens, you're looking at, 30 to 40% more searches. So, which today's day and age should equate to more business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And has for me, I know that, one of the things that I've worked on, really hard on in the very beginning of the service, and Joe and his team at Optimize Marketing have been a big part of this, is helping me to be more consistent across various sites. So how many different sites are you managing for me now?
Right now, I think we're right around 80.
85 sites that have my information on it. They all say the same thing. And so when people search for IT service provider, especially in Kentwood, they find me. And we're getting a lot of calls just from people who stumble across us. We're getting some calls from companies like Home Advisor who want us to be listed in their site because we're the top of the heap. Yep. Well, that's not our business, and so it's one of those examples of a time when I'm choosing not to engage with that kind of a system as opposed to building some creativity across all of the systems. So
yep, you've been a great success story for us, and
can't thank you enough about that for sure. So are you seeing people change the way that they share information as a result of their social media strategy?
A little bit. And especially you have the financial industries where we have to go through compliance with content, first of all. And then you have, there's the obvious stuff. Hey, don't wait till you get home to post pictures that you're traveling, right? Because when you're traveling, people know you're gone. Or, business or addresses, or what's the example you used with the guy with the password on his computer.
Right. The guy that was in charge of the whole process of responding to nuclear threat in Hawaii. He was running a drill, and it went awry. And as a result of that, hundreds of people, thousands of people in Hawaii thought that they were under nuclear attack. And they showed the picture of him at the operations center, and in the lower right corner of his screen was his password printed so everybody could see it in that picture.
On a post-it note. Right.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So it's, the first part with clients, we always, it's every piece of content needs to get approved. I need to make sure that, I consider it common knowledge, but don't be accepting friend requests from people you don't know. Right. Don't be, paying for stuff, through Facebook. Don't be giving your social security number to anything. All the obvious stuff. But we still get stories of, hey, somebody from Google said they were from Google, sent us a Facebook message, and just wanted to make sure that our AdWords account was, is this right? Or Facebook, someone messaged me on Instagram and asked about, their you know, Instagram ads expert and would love to look at your ads and make sure they're performing it at a high rate. Mm. So it's really, you always just got to ask the questions and just have your guard up, really, which is something that you present a lot about. It's just, if it seems weird, it probably is weird. And, you know, just ask somebody before you do it.
Right. Those are all great examples of things that you can do and things that you should be paying attention to. What about privacy settings on Facebook? How do you manage all of those details? This is a little bit of a wild card kind of a question,
yeah.
but I know that you can control who sees that information and who can share that information, but how do you balance the customer needs everybody to know about them,
right,
and yet that they don't want to provide any secrets online?
So really, from the business aspect of it, we're running ads. And as long as your Facebook page is up to date, you don't have a lot of backing up. A lot of the problems with social media come with too many people having access. There was an example of a very large automaker that somebody was running a Twitter account and that was logged in on their phone, and they have different accounts, and they said something not very professional about the traffic in the city they were in. And it was a bad, bad situation. Mm-hmm. So it really comes from making sure that one person controls the messaging. One person is in charge of posting and replying. And it's just not something that everybody has access to. But really, once you get your content approved and you're pushing that content out, from a business standpoint, you should be okay. Mm-hmm. The personal Facebook stuff, there's so much that you got to be aware of, and you could do your privacy settings, but you're on a social media site. These things are designed to share information.
Right.
So if you're trying to hide information, just don't go on social media. Really, like, sorry to make it so
it's a really simple answer.
Simple,
though.
But
absolutely.
That's usually the conversation we have with people.
Right. I'm constantly coaching my friends and family around. You see these sort of wild or out of the blue kind of questions, like, you know, what was your first car, or, you know, what was popular the year you were born, or something like that. And yeah. Have you ever done any research or anything into this concept of like farms, or, you know, the ability for them to kind of gather a group of people together into a set of what they like together?
Luckily, we haven't had any cases with that, and we haven't had to put out any fires with that. I've heard about it. It sounds, you know, pretty scary. Yeah. And it's unfortunate that in our industry, really the only way you can get the message across is a little bit of fear. You have to tell the stories of, hey, this is out there. You think you're just a small business in a local town, they will hold you ransom. They want your data. You know, and then they'll go after the government,
right,
for 76 grand. And it's really about, these things happen. You know, that's the biggest lesson, is these things happen. You need to be aware of them. Don't think that, oh, I have an updated computer, I can click wherever, you know, this person's asking me for this. It happens. It is real. It happens.
Absolutely. So. Very good. Well, thanks so much for those insights, Joe. I really appreciate it. You know, I feel like in our world today, especially in the social media world, we need to make changes in how we handle information, and we need to access it differently. And there's probably a few simple things. You might have some additional suggestions as well. So I wanted to provide kind of three bits of information and encourage folks, and perhaps you have some ideas around this as we go through it. Just as a informational item, and this number seems to bounce around quite a bit. I've seen it as low as 60%. In this case, it's referencing 71% of data breaches happen in businesses with less than 100 employees. Why do you think, what's so valuable about a small business asset? What's so important?
I assume, you know, their guard is down.
Yep.
They think that they're too small. They don't have anything valuable anyone would hack. But we all have client database systems with names, addresses, phone numbers. I mean, that's what's valuable. Data, data, data. That's what everyone and everything is after. It helps with digital marketing. It helps with just learning about, how to buy and sell things, getting client data.
Yep.
And, in most cases, and you can, step in here, but that's what they're after. That's what's valuable. That's why businesses like that. And, not to have a, shameless plug here, not all the time are they think that, okay, we need to have a professional IT company right. come in here and do this.
Right, right.
They're like, oh, I have the, the antivirus that came with my computer. It'll be fine. We have 100 computers on the same network. We're okay. We're only, 100 computers. And it's, they have somebody in there that might have done IT 6 years ago, and it's, you need to be up to date on this stuff. And just the examples that you hear are, it's just crazy.
I had a customer just the other day. We're going to see him later this week. Contracting company, 3 people in the office, and I think 4 computers. They have dad's computer. They call it dad's computer that sits on a desk, and it acts as a server. So all the files that they've ever created within this business are stored on dad's computer. And it really is just a networked device that everybody has access to. So they recognized that they need to do something different, and they called us and said, can you help us move to a Microsoft 365 cloud-based environment? Can you get these files off of this computer that's sitting wide open on the desk and put it out onto the cloud? And I said, sure, we can do that. We gave him a little bit of detail about that. And then he said, well, if I buy new computers and I put everything on the cloud, then I'm good, right? I'm all good. And that was the attitude that we had to talk through. And you're right, it's not an expensive proposition when you compare it to, in the city of Baltimore's case, they knew they had problems. They chose not to do anything about it, and now it's going to cost them $18 million plus over the course of the next year. So it's a big deal, and you have to pay attention to it. They do not address that kind of identity or that kind of solution within a small and mid-sized business, primarily because of perceived cost. And they perceive that it's not necessarily something that's going to happen to them. But as you mentioned, they still are collecting the same information, right?
Yeah.
Still,
I mean, it's crazy. And like I said earlier, the only way to get the message through really is these examples.
Yep.
And you don't want to be the bearer of bad news. You don't always want to be the guy saying this happens, but it's the only way that people understand the dollar amount that this can cost if you don't take simple precautions. It's like not having homeowner's insurance.
Yep.
And a pipe breaks. Like, right. It could have cost you what? A little bit up front, or now you're looking at just because, I don't think my pipes will break, my house is new.
Right.
So it's the same example. It's the same education that a lot of industries go through of, you should do this. It's preventative. So,
right. Now, that said, at a minimum, I always recommend to clients, take all the keys out of the locks in all your doors. So many of them are just leaving the keys in the doors or leaving the doors unlocked and inviting people in through some sort of a channel. So just make sure that all the doors are locked. that's the first step. The second thing I wanted to talk about are employees. And in our experience, employees are the weakest security link. They're usually the ones that are clicking on the wrong place. About 95% of data breaches happen because somebody made a mistake, and it usually isn't anything to do with malice or anything like that. Have you gotten any phishing emails this week?
Another shameless plug. No, because because we're working with you.
Yeah,
I get the filter every morning saying of people that tried to. I'm getting a lot of business loan emails right now.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know what system I'm in, and I'm in the industry, but I get business loan calls, I get business loan emails, and they have the brass to ask for, name, address, phone number, email address,
yep.
zip code, and that's enough that I'm that's information. Where's that going? What's
right.
going on? That's the extent that I've even seen in my kind of spam phishing report that I get yep. every few days.
Yep.
But like I said, I don't click around a lot.
Well, we don't let you do that either, Joe. So, and just to give you a sense of what that investment is. It's basically a 99-cent per month add-on to your existing email address that's preventing some of that spam from coming through. It doesn't prevent everything, but
18 million, 99 cents.
Yeah, for 99 cents, you're getting a really good value. So the other thing that I would recommend, and I wonder what your thoughts are on this. We offer a number of security training activities, giving people access to an online portal, simulating phishing exercises, trying to gauge how much people are insecure within the organization. If so many of these are caused by mistakes, you know, does the idea of an ongoing education program seem appealing to you?
Absolutely. And it should be very appealing to management.
Right.
I mean, data speaks for itself.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And those trainings are not dull.
Right.
I mean, we've gone through one where you'll get an email from Max or you'll get an email from someone that you know.
Yep.
And it'll come through and say, hey, Joe, just click here. We had an issue with your account. And I think you reported that, what, how many people in that group clicked?
Yeah, about half of the group.
Right.
At least engaged or reacted to it, and
right.
And a few clicked on it and sort of lost it a little right. bit when they found out that it wasn't a real kind of a deal. But those simulations do work for sure,
and it's a great way. You know, that's a great way for management to really understand the value of this. And you know, I keep going back to that 18 million. Like, I don't care who you are, 18 million is a lot of money.
Absolutely.
And the training, if that's the weakest link, if that's where it all happens. We don't get educated in this. It's not something you start a new job and, you know, they say, hold on to your password.
Yep.
You know, there's not an education on this stuff happens. And I think that's something that we go through of, like, even the publisher suggestions I talked about. A lot of businesses I go into, they're like, what? Is that why my stuff gets changed? Is that why Google has me listed as permanently closed? Is that what's going on here? And it's just the wow factor of, you don't know what you don't know, and it could cost you a lot of money by not getting your employees
absolutely
educated.
Absolutely. Well, do you have any parting words of advice, any ideas that you would share as far as what people should do to react in this space, or maybe some different ways to think about social media and their engagement with it?
Once again, it's going to be a simple answer to that. It's just take a second and think about why?
Yep.
Like, ask somebody. And you could even Google it. Google the email address. And just, you know, and if you're working with a provider, I mean, I email you all the time.
Yep.
Hey, what is this? Or why is this through here? Why is this? Just ask. And also, do you have a plan in place? Do you have procedures? Does all of your staff or employees know this stuff's out there and not to click on stuff, and just making an effort to have a process in place for, you know, web security, social media Absolutely. Security.
Absolutely. And folks more and more are running up against bogus kinds of things on Facebook, and they're clicking, and that's giving away information that you don't necessarily want to give away. So I always recommend you go into your app settings on Facebook and get rid of all those ones that are basically just gathering data.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for your time today, Joe.
Thanks for having me.
I'm excited that we could share some information. I know that Optimized Marketing does a lot of good work in helping companies be found on the internet, helping build that consistency. I just appreciate all you've done for our business as well.
Absolutely.
So we'll close this up and just give you a couple of reminders. These are similar to the things that I've said in the past, but just remember that you're the only person in control of what happens to you. You're the only one that can prevent cyber attacks. It comes down to each of us individually and how we go about responding to our situation. Take a step back. If you're not in the frame of mind that's clear, don't do anything that you wouldn't do if you were clear of mind, and make sure that you understand every circumstance that you're encountering. It's at the end of the day, it's just to say that we're all able to control what we can control, and we want to keep a watchful eye out and anticipate any disaster that will happen in the future. So thanks for listening today to today's installment of the Phishing Report. Again, let's start that conversation on Twitter @PhishingReport, PHISHING. And if you have any questions or like to share your story, get a hold of us. We'd be happy to talk to you. If you ever need anything related to IT or want to talk about that spam filter for 99 cents a month, I'll be happy to talk to you at mgibbard@teamlogicit.com or 616-727-0107. And if you ever need help with SEO marketing or have questions about digital marketing in general, Joe, why don't you give us your contact information and we'll make sure everybody has that as well.
Yeah, it's joe@onlineoptimizemarketing.com. That is the easiest and best way to get a hold of us.
Okay, joe@onlineoptimized, O-P-T-I-M-I-Z-E-D, marketing.com. Well, thanks a lot, and thanks for listening. Let's be safe out there.
Absolutely. Thanks, Max.